It's Sunday morning. Time for the Great Outdoors with Charlie Potter. Brought to you by the all-new Chevy Silverado and ChevyDriveChicago.com on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome to the Great Outdoors Show. Charlie Potter, your host here on WGN Radio, and thank you for being with me this morning on Sunday morning. A number of you commented on the show last week in which I talked about how 12 years could go by and watching a young boy grow into a man, and I appreciate those comments, and it's one of those things that I guess we all, it tells us about time, but it reminds us how precious it is to take advantage of the opportunities to take kids into the outdoors and how special it can be for their lives. I'm going to start off the show this morning, actually, with something that has nothing to do with the great outdoors. But it's a personal experience, and it's certainly very relevant for the time that we're in right now. And I'm going to cover it briefly, because usually I don't wander from the great outdoors, but given what's going on in the counting of ballots and where we are with the presidential election, I thought I would give you a firsthand experience of what it's like to be a poll watcher in the Projects of Gary, Indiana, which I was in 2008. My job was to be in several precincts in Gary to make sure that the voting taking place was honestly done and was legal. And when I got to Gary, Indiana, and these were in the projects of Gary, I actually was assigned a U.S. Marshal who accompanied me for the entire day. What I saw and subsequently filed with in a letter that ended up, I guess, at the Federal Election Commission, which is where this was supposed to go. My purpose was, if the election between Senator John McCain and President Barack Obama had been close, and Indiana was a close state, then my observations in poll watching may have been relevant. As it turned out, it was not a close election. Senator McCain lost Indiana, and nobody really cared about what I saw. But I filed my report nonetheless. The reason I'm mentioning this is it's firsthand experience. And what I saw in 2008, I'm sure is not terribly different than today in certain areas. I saw extensive voter fraud. And when I say voter fraud, I saw individuals come into the polling places and be led to a booth. And then the person who took them to the booth carried out the voting for them. I also, and I saw this more than once, I also watched as the polling machines at the end of the day were closed down, and the individual who had the copy of the voter register then took the disc out of the back of the poll, was given the disc out of the back of the polling machines. And so a single individual had a copy of the voter rolls and the voting machines, and therefore was able to match who didn't vote. And it turned out that at the end of the day, in the precincts I was in, basically 100% of the people voted, which had never happened before. So my reason for commenting on this is that I do think, and this is not political in either way, I don't care whether you're a Democrat or Republican, independent, a libertarian, doesn't matter. I do think that there is, based upon the personal experiences that I had, which was now 12 years ago, I do think there's a reason that somehow we need to figure out a way to make sure that people who vote are actually voting for themselves and aren't being led to vote. And we also need to make sure that people who didn't actually show up to vote don't in fact end up having voted. So I just mention this because it's obviously on most Americans' minds. I had a firsthand experience. I saw both the good side of an election and I saw the weaknesses. And the weaknesses are what cast doubts in people's minds. And had I not had the firsthand experience in Gary, Indiana, as a poll watcher, I wouldn't have known this, and I wouldn't have believed it to be true. But what I saw did take place. I saw it with my own eyes. I wrote a report on what I saw and how voting laws were violated, and that report was filed somewhere, and I'm sure it's collected all kinds of dust now. But the point is, we can always do better. And when it comes to the great outdoors, bringing it back to the show, I think that's where we are now with this presidential election discussion. Regardless of the outcome, there's going to be an opportunity to do things for the outdoors that were not possible in an election year period, even though a remarkable amount was achieved in the signing of legislation for the Land and Water Conservation Fund and the authorization of more money for the North American Wetlands Conservation Act, etc. So let me return to the great outdoors and get away from my experiences in voting to say that if Vice President Biden, in fact, wins the election, you'll obviously see a new Secretary of Interior, a new Director of the Fish and Wildlife Service. All the positions will be filled by individuals who are different from the Trump administration individuals, just as the Trump administration individuals were all different from the Obama administration individuals. What we would assume is that a President Biden would go back to the playbook of the 8 years of the Obama-Biden administration when it comes to appointment and philosophy for the Department of Interior, Fish and Wildlife Service, and how we approach things when it comes to the outdoors. So I don't think there's going to be as much mystery as there often is. We know that during those 8 years, there was a lot of effort spent on non-game species. There was a lot of effort spent on neotropical birds. And there was definitely a drift from supporting those who have historically provided the funding for outdoor recreation, hunting and fishing. And there also was a definite bent to curtail access for hunting and fishing to areas of national wildlife refuges and other areas. Those efforts were reversed by the Trump administration, which has greatly, I'm not saying it's right or wrong, I'm just offering what took place, has taken place. The Trump administration greatly increased access to national wildlife refuges, public lands, for the purposes of hunting and fishing. So if, in the end of the day, President Trump is reelected, you're likely to see, well, there'll be changes in individuals, there won't be a change in philosophy. And that philosophy is one that was very much in favor of expanding hunting and fishing opportunities on public lands and expanding access to achieve hunting and fishing opportunities. That is what this administration will have been known for, is opening up public lands to hunting and fishing opportunity. We'll see if President Biden is elected, if that some of that will try to be reversed. Let's hope not, because I think that the improvement of access is one of the things that is most critical to a future in America where a hunting and fishing heritage is passed on. You have to have places to go, and you have to have places of quality. We also can contrast what was an Obama-Biden administration. They were much more interested in protecting than managing. Trump administration was much less interested in protecting more acreage, but much more focused on managing the acreage we have. And again, there are two views on that. One view is, if we don't protect it, we'll never have the chance. And the other view is, we protected an awful lot of land. We now need to manage it better. So regardless of the outcome here, there will be a different philosophy if President Biden is to be elected, if Vice President Biden is to be elected, than if President Trump is to be reelected. I'll be back in just a moment with more on the great outdoors. And when I do, I want to talk a little bit about some roadless areas in the West. I also want to talk about what I witnessed with the big storm of 10 days ago and how I just happened to be standing in the right place to see something magical. Listen to Charlie Potter and the Outdoor Voice of Chicago in America, 720 WGN. First, a message from our longtime sponsors, the Northwest Indiana and Chicagoland Chevrolet dealers.
In the field, hunters need to be alert, sense the environment around them, and know exactly where they are, communicate seamlessly with their dogs. And when it comes to pickup trucks, you want the same qualities. The all-new Chevy Silverado comes with an available 4G Wi-Fi hotspot for seamless communication. It's designed to handle the toughest loads with advanced trailering technology, tough on the road and off. And the all-new design gives you more cargo space than the competition. Chevy Silverado is the most dependable, longest-lasting, full-size pickup on the road. Plus, there's never been a better time to see your local Chevy dealer about the Big Fix lease. It's an amazing lease deal that can lower your monthly payments and give you more Chevy, all for less money. That's a treasure hunt. So head to your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealer or go to ChevyDriveChicago.com and see why Chevy is the number one best-selling brand in Chicagoland, now 8 years running.
It's Charlie Potter and the Great Outdoors on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Welcome back to the Great Outdoors Show. Your host, Charlie Potter, here on WGN Radio. Thanks so much for being with me. So, 2 weeks ago, when that really big blow came through the Midwest, and of course we've had summer-like temperatures ever since, it seems like, I happened to be in a place outdoors where I like to spend my time in the morning, where I also like to spend my time, and I watched the arrival of canvasbacks. And I make mention of it because to be in the outdoors when the Grand Passage takes place is one of those things that you read about in old books and you occasionally hear about, but to see firsthand doesn't happen very often. I've been fortunate now to say that I remember being in the outdoors three times when the Grand Passage has occurred. And one of them was just 2 weeks ago on the 22nd of October when I awoke to a huge north wind, falling temperatures, went out, sat in a duck blind, and watched thousands and thousands and thousands of canvasback come in from the north-northwest. It was a stunning sight. I happened to be with the new president and CEO of Ducks Unlimited, Adam Putman, experiencing what you read about, seldom see. We had fresh canvasbacks. And when I say fresh canvasbacks, I mean fresh from the north. They hit the marsh. They spiraled around. They were in big flocks. They broke off into smaller flocks. The day before, we had hardly seen a canvasback. And now we were just watching several thousand canvasback buzz around the end of the marsh that we were hunting in. And it was a spectacle that's one of those things where you'll never forget it. It doesn't have to be canvasbacks. It could be the migration of swans. It could be the migration of any bird species. But to be there when they arrive from the breeding grounds on a big north wind is just one of those special times. And I was very fortunate to be there. I could have been a day later and wouldn't have happened. So if you ever have the chance, there's still more in this fall coming ahead of us. There'll be more fronts, particularly with the mild weather we've had. There'll be more fronts coming from the north, and it will bring birds. Go out, take your binoculars, go stand on the lakeshore in Chicago, or go out to the Mississippi River, or go somewhere where you know birds pass, and you could see something equally special. In the case of those of us who like to duck hunt, it frequently happens in duck blinds because we're in places where you see those kinds of things. The Illinois River, the National Wildlife Refuge is there, the Dixon Refuge up at Hennepin, all are great places to watch this kind of a thing. I hope you get the chance to do so. Moving on quickly, I want to talk about this after now we're through the election. It appears that there will be a renewed effort to remove dams in some of the key areas of the Pacific Northwest, which has been ongoing for years and really never has gotten much traction. But with some of the election results that came in out of Oregon and Washington, there will be a growing call to cut down on hydroelectric and to go much more to wind and solar and to get the dams out of rivers so that fish can move freely again. And one of the things that is likely to occur if the administration changes is that the Endangered Species Act will, in fact, get more teeth, as it could be that there will be further restrictions on the ability to manage water in rivers of the Pacific Northwest where salmon come in to spawn, because their numbers have just been depleted to the point of virtually nothing. And so there could be further effort to restrict water management in the West. And there also could be, as I mentioned, an effort to take down some dams and make fish passage easier. Taking down of dams is highly political. We'll see if it happens, but already the call for doing so is there. And it cuts both ways. It could actually stimulate economies if fish passages could be made easier and we could have expanding salmon runs. We're not going to go back to the days of when much of the Pacific Northwest looked like Alaska, but we could see an expansion in fishing opportunity and an expansion in frankly, species that are really, really in trouble. With just a moment left to go, I think it is pretty clear now that the pebble mine in Alaska is absolutely not going to occur, and that is a truly wonderful, wonderful thing. As you've heard me speak on the air many times, and I've had some of the foremost leaders on this subject on the air, it is a mine that would so degrade the Bristol Bay region, the last great, great salmon run in the world, really, really phenomenal salmon runs, biggest sockeye runs on earth. And why imperil it for a little bit of money from a mine when it does look as though, regardless of what takes place in the final count of this election, that we are moving further from the use of materials like that. So I think that is good news for those of us who love Alaska and frankly, who love the idea that we have abundant wild salmon still on earth. Thanks so much for listening. I'll be back next Sunday morning with much more on the great outdoors. I hope you have a great and safe week in the great outdoors. This is Charlie Potter on the Outdoor Voice of Chicago and America, 720 WGN.